How many out there used to be slaves to sin, enslaved to the bondage of sin that didn't have any regard for you but just wanted to destroy you, but now you're free? Amen. It's good to be free, isn't it? It's good to be saved. And I appreciate that song this morning. You folks, you must have sung together a few times. You sound really good together. You should start a band, maybe. It sounded really good. Well, praise the Lord. In 54 years, again, praise the Lord. Still singing together. God is good, and we appreciate what He does in our midst, and I'm thankful for that reminder. Good to be free this morning. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go ahead and actually turn to Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, real quick. Then we're going to Acts chapter 20. But first, Matthew chapter 26, please. Matthew chapter 26. There's a scene here we're quite familiar with. Christ in the garden, praying. The disciples, three specific ones that He had brought a little further into the garden with Him to pray with Him, and whom He had instructed to pray, were struggling to stay awake. They were tired. They were wore out from the journey, wore out from just being busy with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here in this moment where there's some peace and they're able to pray, they drift off into sleep. They got a little too comfortable. Sometimes we have to stand up when we pray. Move around a little bit. You might drive by the church once in a while and see someone walking around, and that would be me trying not to be asleep, trying to walk around, trying to stay active. And it's not good to sit all the time, and I sit a lot. But it's good to be moving. Keeps us awake. And sometimes we get a little too comfortable. Here's what Jesus Christ said to these disciples. Verse 41, He says, "Watch and pray." The first two words, "Watch and pray." Hey guys, something's about to happen. Pay attention. Be alert. Be awake. Watch. Be aware of your surroundings. And pray. Those are the two things He asked them to do. Pay attention to what's going on around you. And pray accordingly. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Trouble is coming. The Spirit is indeed what? Willing. How many of us can relate to that as Christians? We want to honor God. We want to be faithful. We want to be faithful. We want to keep going. We don't want to be weary and well-doing and give up and hang up our Bibles and stick them on the shelf and say, "I'm all done. I need a break from this. I don't want to do this anymore." We need to be faithful. And sometimes we get a little too comfortable. Sometimes we get wore out. The Spirit is willing. The Spirit wants to be faithful. The Spirit wants to be obedient. The Spirit wants to honor God and follow Him and grow and mature. But the flesh, as it says at the rest of this verse, the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is what? It's weak. Our flesh is weak, isn't it? I remember sitting at the hospital in Fredericton at the bedside of a gentleman who was not only a war veteran, not only an ex-RCMP officer, volunteer firefighter, and presently or currently sitting on the board of one of the biggest banks in Fredericton, a very well-respected man who called me kid when I was in my 30s. Kid, that's what he called me. He knew my name too. But he knew how to assert dominance. He knew how to command the room. He was well-respected. And at this season of his life, he is dying in a hospital bed and he doesn't have very many days left to live. And he's broken and he's weak, and now he has the attention span necessary to hear the gospel. Before, he didn't want to hear the gospel. And he reminded me of that when he called me kid as I asked if I could pray. "Kid, this isn't your house," he said. But now he's sitting, or I'm sitting at his bedside. He's lying in the bed without the strength to get out of it. And I said, "Bill, I want to share the gospel with you, and I know that this might frustrate you, but I am determined that you know what you need to know." And I prayed the whole drive in from Academy, the whole drive in, that God would give me the boldness, because I knew He wasn't going to want to hear it. I was sure He was going to send me out of the room, tell me to be quiet. And so I said, "Lord, just give me the boldness to say what I know He needs to hear. Hell is the destination that He's headed for without Christ, and I care enough about Him to be willing to share the gospel, even if He hates me for it." And I said, "Bill, you need to know Jesus. You need salvation. If you were to die today, You're going to be lost forever. You can't take that chance. I'm telling you, it's true. And he interrupted me, and he said, I don't even have the strength to get out of this bed. I know I can't save myself. And he began to weep. I'm too weak. I can't even go to the washroom. And it was that weakness that helped him recognize his need for the Lord God. And as Christians, that weakness reminds us that we need God. And not only God, but the things that God has put in our lives to strengthen us, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And no matter what, sometimes the flesh will keep us from doing what we desperately desire to do for the Lord. But you know what helps? Prayer. Watch and pray. Pay attention. Don't get too comfortable. Don't get entangled with the affairs of this life. You're on a battlefield. You're in a war. The Lord is using you in every day of your life. He wants to use you to meet the needs of those around you. He wants to mature you and grow you. Imagine that. There's not a single day of your life, Christian, that God wants you to waste on frivolous things. He will bless you. He will show you amazing things. You will love His goodness every single day if you look for it. Your family, the Son, everything that He does for you. But in the midst of all that, He wants you to serve Him, to be faithful, and to be light. And sometimes that gets hard to do. Sometimes that gets wearying. It gets tiresome. And it feels like you're not getting anywhere, and it feels like nothing is happening and nothing is working. But that's all those things God said. In the world, you'll have tribulation, Jesus said. But be of good cheer. It's not going to be easy, but it is going to be worth it. And as I think about this moment that Christ had with His disciples, that the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak, I thought it fit with what we're going to look at here in Acts chapter 20. Let's go ahead and turn there. I'm going to pray real quick. And don't be afraid. That doesn't mean we now have 45 minutes left. I'm going to pray, and we'll try to end in a timely manner. But I wanted to begin with just helping us to see this privilege of being saved, of being a part of the family of God, for the responsibilities that we have and for the privilege that it is. Let me pray. Father, thank You for Your grace this morning. It is so good to be in Your presence. And Father, You have placed around us Your Word. You have placed within us Your Spirit, those new desires that we have to honor You. The Spirit is willing. We hear Him. We hear that conviction. We hear Him cheering us on. We hear You, Father, instructing us and convicting us and guiding us. Help us to be sensitive to your voice, O God. Thank You that You have put around us people, the church, brothers and sisters, the saints that encourage us, that cheer us on, that encourage and exhort us, edify us and strengthen us. And so, Lord, we thank You that we can combine these things, Your presence, Your Word, the saints, and that we can find the motivation to keep on going. And Lord, not to find our life as believers to be some humdrum thing that we're bored with, but that every day would be a precious gift and an adventure with You. Alert us to this truth. Wake us up to the reality of what it means to be a Christian, a child of God, that we would enjoy every blessed minute of it. Bless Your Word, Lord, as we enter chapter 20, God. Help us to get every rich blessing and truth and teaching from this chapter, and use it for Your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul and his entourage are finishing their time in Ephesus. 2 years. 2 years. You settle down in 2 years. You get to know the people. You get acquainted with the culture and the needs and the wants and the issues that are there. But now it's time to go. He's invested, this missionary. He's done his work. And things are beginning to change. Things are beginning to wrap up. He still has a little bit more work to do on the mission field. And I love the fact that in the next couple of chapters, we're going to see a transition from very open and very team-related mission work to the life of Paul and the way in which God continues to lead him to the very end. And I just love this book, and it's so I love the ocean, I love sailing, and there's a lot of sailing metaphors and stories coming up here in the next little while. So I'm excited for what we're going to look at in the future. But here we see the mission for Paul in Ephesus is wrapping up, at least this version, this portion of it. And here's what it says right off the bat. It says, and after the uproar was ceased. After the uproar. Anybody have to go through an uproar this week? I'm talking about an uproar. And not the Wildcats game last night either. You know, an uproar, a real uproar. where there's a good group, a good amount of people that are angry and embittered and hate-filled and fervent to do something about what you're saying. That was the uproar that Paul was referring to, or that the Spirit led us to be reminded of here in the text. There was an uproar. Finally, it died down. This was the ministry. Always, this was the third uproar, as a matter of fact. This isn't a new thing. They're either in prison, being threatened, being beaten up, being told to stop, run out of town, or there's an uproar of some kind, a revolt of some kind against the gospel, against these believers in Jesus Christ. You know, after a while, that can wear on you. The world roaring back at us. Just recently, a good individual that I know, or a good Christian fellow I know, was referred to in a derogatory way because of his faithfulness to the Lord. His unwillingness to compromise and make life easier for himself earned him the title of being a bigot. Now, before God, he's not a bigot. Before me, he's not a bigot. Before the definition of the word, he isn't a bigot. So Webster himself would disagree. But nonetheless, titles are often thrown around. And it's not easy sometimes to bear up under that. That's why we pray for our young people, our youth, because it's even harder for them, I believe. And they need our prayers desperately, and they need our example, and they need our faithfulness. These guys were no doubt getting tired of the uproars and getting weary. And here they are wrapping up this ministry, and they're not just heading home. They're continuing on in their ministry. And that's what I love about Paul and about these missionaries. They were obedient, they were prayerful, they were helpful, and they were faithful. And really, chapter 20, at least the first portion of this, demonstrates so much faithfulness. Here's what it says. The uproar was ceased. The false goddess Diana, whom they worshipped in the temple of Diana. There was a big uproar over what they were preaching because the silversmiths were losing out on the money. We want to sell our little false idols. And the gospel is hindering that. Uproar ceased. It says, Paul called unto him the disciples. And I love this. It says, and he embraced them. He embraced them. This was a genuine act of love. It's like, I have come to love you, folks. I'm going to miss you, folks. I want you to know that I care about you, folks. And that there was real grief there. At the same time, there was joy in what they were able to do together. There was grief. And that season of work, that season of difficulty that they endured together, that season of uproar and turmoil was now coming to an end. And they weren't like, phew, I hope I don't see you again. See you later. That's what I say to my dentist sometimes. Sorry, Carly. Right? They didn't have that attitude. Man, this was 2 years of this. I'm so glad I'm going home. I can't put up with any more of this. No, that wasn't their attitude. It's, I'm going to miss doing this with you. I love doing this with you. Serving the Lord together. Fighting the good fight, literally, with you. The presence of God in our midst. What a walk we had. What a season we had. How many of us get to say the same thing? Over and over again throughout our lives. I'm having one right now. God is so good. He embraces those disciples. He loved those men and women in Ephesus. And he was leaving the church, and he wanted them to know that. And they wanted him to know how much they loved him. And there's genuine love within the body of Christ. Thank you for being faithful to this church. Now, I know when we speak about the church, we speak about the church sometimes in general terms, the body of Christ on earth, and that's what it is. And the church is here, and the church leaves here and goes out into the world at about 12 o'clock. The church isn't the walls. You're the church. And we are related to the church around the globe. Saints, brothers and sisters in Christ, doesn't matter if they're in Indonesia, if they're in Korea, if they're in Germany or Japan, or you name the place, we are the church. We are the ambassadors of Christ, the light of this world. What a privilege to be a part of that. Amen? Thank you for your faithfulness to the church in general, but also to your local church here this morning. And maybe preachers don't say it often enough because they don't want to look like they're, you know, lying in their own pockets or padding their own ideologies or opinions about things. But I am so thankful for your faithfulness to this church. You know, I'm always so encouraged when I look around and see you folks coming out here, making the effort to be here, despite the week that you had, despite the challenges that you face. And it motivates me. And I sit down and I talk to the Lord and I ask Him to fill me up with something that will be valuable to you folks and precious to you, and that you'll meet with Him in some way and be encouraged and edified and strengthened when you leave here. Because that's how I feel. Thank you for accommodating God's will. Thank you for being obedient and taking the time and making the effort to come to church. I know there are those that wish they could be here and can't be because hell steals that liberty eventually. And maybe all of us will get to that point at some day in the future. But right now we can come, even if we got to drag ourselves some mornings. So thank you for your faithfulness. And we want to invite others to join us because we want them to be a part of what Paul was a part of, what this church in Ephesus was a part of, where we're literally embracing one another and saying, I love you in the Lord. Keep on keeping on. I'm praying for you. This is such a unique family we get to be a part of. And I want you to know from the bottom of my heart, thank you for your faithfulness, for being faithful to the Lord's work here. I'm not talking about perfection or never getting it wrong. I'm talking about commitment and loyalty and faithfulness. And spiritually, we embrace the Lord and we embrace one another, and sometimes physically when need be. My wife is a hugger, so if you need a hug, I'll give you one if I have to, but... We just see the love. Friends, we get to enjoy this love forever. I look out at you, and you can look up at me, but also look at one another and recognize that your existence with those in these pews will never end. It'll just get better. I look around, I will see your faces for all of eternity, and that's a good thing. I know some days it doesn't seem that way, but imagine that. That is a good thing. Somebody told me the other day a loved one had passed away, and we were talking about it. Might have been you and I, Peter. But we were talking about it, and the fact is that our circles get smaller on earth. We look around, and we see less family members that we used to have, and less friends that we went to school with, and less, you know, people around that we know, and we think to ourselves, you know, it's not the same anymore. Life is changing. But never forget, Christian, while the circle gets smaller on earth, it's getting bigger in heaven. And you ain't losing anyone in Christ. And the reception for you is just getting bigger. And someday you will be reunited in the moment and you'll realize how quick it all went. And it'll seem like no time at all. We are a part of something that is eternal right now. This church, this present body of believers, as is connected by the Spirit of God with the rest of the saints, including those in heaven, is an eternal entity doing the work and will of God, and there is nothing else like it on planet Earth. And praise God for that. And Paul recognized that, and we're learning about it once again as we read through this. He embraces those disciples. And what am I saying? I'm saying this is the reason why we are faithful. This is the reason why we come. This is the reason why we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Though sometimes we have a bad day, and sometimes we don't feel good, and sometimes we're offended or even insulted or put off, we recognize that we are all sinners saved by grace, and that without each other, we'll never get to the end, not easily. It takes more than one. You know, the Holy Spirit sent those disciples out by two for a reason. And this is where we are encouraged to remain faithful. Be faithful. God encourages us through the Word of God and through the people of God to keep on going. We're like a team. Like last night, the Wildcats, probably Dakota and Isaac were the loudest, I don't know for sure, but they were being cheered on by the crowd. They fell a little behind and the crowds got louder. They were cheering them on. You can do it. You can do it. And it helps. The energy and the momentum and the emotion and the direction and the goals all come together. And then you talk about it afterwards. You say, wow, that was amazing. How did we pull that off? It was a team effort. This is why it's so good that you're faithful and coming. Oh, how discouraged we would be if we'd seen the numbers dwindle for lack of faith, for disobedience, for sin's sake. It would break our hearts. How do I know that? Because our hearts already break for those that aren't with us, that aren't experiencing this joy and this blessed communion that we get to have. This is wonderful that God has allowed us to do this. And Paul has embraced it. And he's embracing those disciples in Ephesus, encouraging them as they encourage him. Verse 2, it says, and when he had gone over those parts, and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. We're in Sunday school, our adult Sunday school class. We started talking about the gifts of the Spirit. You know, one of the gifts of the Spirit is the gift of exhortation, to be able to encourage, to be able to lift up. And many of you have that gift, and you're really good at it. And it's so important. And this is what's happening. They're using their gifts. The church coming together, encouraging, even as they're separating. They're saying bye to a team, not good riddance to a job that they didn't enjoy. They're saying bye to a family that they'll see again in heaven. And here they send exhortation, or they speak of exhortation, and he heads to Greece. Verse 3, and there abode 3 months in Greece, and when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. It's like, oh, we could spend a lot of time on these verses. You know what we just read in verse 3? Let me summarize it this way. If you've been watching the news the last 24 hours, President of the United States, there was another attempt at his life. You know, God is gracious. I tell you, when someone attempts to take your life 3 times, you better start talking to the Lord, because the 4th time might be coming. But I'll tell you, when you think about an assassination attempt, you know, it makes the news, it's a big deal, and we all talk about it, and we think, wow, what's going on? And you know what? Verse 3 is an assassination plot against Paul. That's literally what it is. It says, and there abode 3 months, that's they went to Greece, they're ministering, and when the Jews laid wait for him, that's the plot. Jews that hate Paul, that hate the gospel, that hate Christ, and they want to kill him. And here Paul continues to be faithful despite that, but he uses some wisdom. They laid wait for him, it says, as he was about to sail into Syria. This would be Syria, Antioch, his home. And perhaps they thought, well, we'll just jump on the boat, get him in his sleep, toss him over the side. I don't know what the plot was. But he found out about it because God is faithful. And instead, he decides to go the long way through Macedonia, or the old-fashioned way, instead of the boat. Verse 4, and there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians Aristarchus, and Secundus, and Gaius, and Derbe, and Timotheus of Asia, and Tychicus, and Trophimus. See, I say it fast enough, you can't tell if I said it right. I learned. That's what the good preachers all do, brother. I don't know. You know what's neat? I don't want us to miss this. In verse 1, Paul says goodbye to a team. I love you. I'll miss you. Thank you. It was wonderful to serve with you. He heads away. And now we see a few verses later, he collects another team. And that's exactly what we see. In verse 4, it says, and there accompanied him. You know, God always has a team of people around us to help us be faithful, to encourage us, to do the work with us. I've had several teams over my Christian life. Several teams. And I'm so thankful for every one of them. I love how our paths get to cross as believers. I love it. I love that we never can anticipate. And God does things and we think to ourselves, wow, I never thought I would be back here again. I never thought that God would bless or privilege me in this way, or that you would come into my life and we would minister together in the way that we are getting to do now. But that's just how God works. And so here we see Paul saying goodbye to one team, and now we see him picking up a second team. They accompany him here. A guy by the name of Asia, a Sopater of Berea. A fellow by the name of Aristarchus. They speculate that he was an aristocrat. Came from a wealthy family, hence the name. Secundus, by the way, was a name that was given typically to a slave. Secundus, not his name, but a nickname for the second of the house. The first slave, or the slave that ran the household, was called the primus. Just interesting. But these were the types of individuals, rich and poor. All come to faith in Jesus Christ, all part of the body of Christ, the family of God, brothers and sisters, Gaius, Derbe, Timotheus we recognize, Asia, Tychicus, Trophimus. Verse 5, these going before tarried from us at Troas. Verse 6, and we sailed away from Philippi. It's interesting, we see a little change there you might not have noticed, but Luke, of course, is writing, and now Luke, who was left in Philippi when they were there by Paul, is now rejoining Paul back here in Philippi, and so he starts to write again. And we sailed from Philippi, he says, after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. So Paul says goodbye to one group, one team, one part of the body of Christ, one part of the church. I love you. Thank you for being a part of this. Thank you for being faithful. Praise God that we got to do this together. All the stories we will tell. And then he finds himself with another team. And he continues to be faithful, continues to push forward. Doesn't matter if there's going to be another uproar or how many uproars there's been. He's being faithful. He has the encouragement of others to help him be faithful. And they sail away 5 days and then 7 days more. They're busy. They're wore out. There's difficulties. And I love this. And we're going to have to close in the next 5 minutes. But look at verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, it doesn't say, the whole group took a nice long break, well deserved from all their work. And they decided to skip church that day. Because it was a long week after all. No, it doesn't say that. And I'm not being funny. I don't mean to be. I'm not trying to be mean-spirited in any way. But I want us to see their faithfulness because I believe it's being demonstrated here again, week after week. You guys, you got lots on the go. I know you do. Life is busy and life is hard. And sometimes you don't even feel like leaving the house, let alone being around other people. And yet here you are. That honors God. And it demonstrates His strength in your life. And that His word is true. And that what works for you will work for those that don't think it will. And you are the evidence of that. You are the example of that. That's what it means to be light. And I'm serious when I say those cars in this parking lot, they are as much evidence as you in the pews. Because the people may not know you're in here, but they see the vehicles and know someone is. Every week, every Sunday. And God can use even a parking lot full of cars to prompt someone into thinking, what am I missing? That they're doing week after week after week. And we know what they're missing. And it's wonderful. And we want them to be a part of it. Well, verse 7, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. They went to church. Sunday. And they would have worked. They would have done their normal chores and responsibilities all day and met together in the evening. They went to church. That's what we do. We need to go to church. We need to be faithful. We need to encourage one another. And when I go to church, it encourages people. And when they come to church, it encourages me. And so they are remaining faithful, despite the uproars, despite the fact that they are hated, threatened with prison, persecution, assault, any number of things. It's for those reasons, in accordance with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, that they go more. Hey, things are getting kind of spicy out there. We should meet at the church and pray. We should get together again soon. That's the attitude that they have, and it's the right one to have. And they recognize that. And so after a busy week, after an uproar, after all of these things that have been going on, after mission work, what do? They get together. They continue to minister amongst themselves. Just quickly, as we close, let me share a few thoughts on the faithfulness here. It says, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together, and that was the first point, that they were faithful in coming together. And that's as far as we'll go. Let's turn to Hebrews, please, chapter 10. I think I'll look at this passage here as we close. Hebrews chapter 10. Here's why, because we often quote that verse I just referenced, verse 25, but there's a few other verses that are just as important. Of course, they all are, but we don't often consider them. Hebrews chapter 10. And I'll close with this point. Being faithful in coming together is not for the benefit of the pastor or of the treasurer or of the bill collectors or of the deacons or the ushers. It's not to the benefit or for the purposes of pleasing any of those individuals. It's for the glory of Jesus Christ. When you come to church, you're saying, Jesus, I love you. I believe what your word says. I believe what you're doing is important. It is the most important thing. I thank you that I'm a part of it, and I'm serious about my part. I'm serious about my role. If I'm going to be serious about the job that I have, if I'm going to be serious about the kids that I raise, if I'm going to be serious about the items that I take care of and maintain, if I'm going to be serious about the bills that I pay and being on time, and I'm going to be serious about your work, why should I be serious about all these other things and not you the most? Why should my standards for you be the lowest? And today you're saying, once again, it isn't. Thank you for your faithfulness. And it honors the Lord. And they were faithful despite the busyness, despite the difficulties, Despite the excuses and even the justifications, they honored God and they came to church. And here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 10. Let's start in verse 19 because we miss some of these sweet verses. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. There was a time when you stepped into the Holy of Holies, you would drop dead on the spot. Oh, I just want to see God. I just want to hear God. I just want to see His presence, His glory. I just want to know Him. I want to be intimate with Him. I want to be close to Him. You step into the Holy of Holies, you would drop dead on the spot for disobedience. One time, once a year, one guy, the priest, the highest of all, under the Lord God, was able to enter in, and that was it. And he had to be very clean. He had to have his ceremonial gowns on. Everything had to be just right. But now, because of what Jesus Christ accomplished, now every single one of us can just burge into the throne room of God with respect and reverence, but we can come anytime we want to, as often as we can, and church is one of those places that we burge into the throne room of God with our lips full of singing and praise. And that's what we do on Sunday mornings. We just show up and we say, Lord, here we are. You love us or not, we're here. And we know He loves us. And we sing to Him, and we pray to Him, and we talk about Him, and we worship Him, and we encourage one another through Him, and we leave. And God honors it, and it pleases Him, and hears our prayers, and His presence is with us. There's a new and living way, it says in verse 20, and we're a part of that new and living way. It's the church. And we can come, and we can pray, and we can worship. We can come into the presence of God. We know that here this morning, amen? God is with us this morning, amen? And we know that, and so we get to be a part of that. It says in verse 21, and having an high priest over the house of God, this is Christ, He is the head of this church. If that ever changes, we may as well all go jump in the pedicodiac and you can throw me in as well, please. He has got to be the head of this church. There's a lot of churches where God isn't even a member, sadly. A lot of church buildings, He's not invited. Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. You've done that again this morning. Of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. There's that faithfulness again, for He is faithful, that promise. God is faithful. We follow that example. We are faithful. It's effort, it's time, it's work. It's persecution, tribulation. Doesn't matter. God will help us. And what an honor to be faithful. Verse 24, let us consider one another. That's what we're doing this morning. Here's what it says. To provoke unto love and to good works. I used to provoke my sister. I used to like doing that. My parents didn't take to it. And they would tell me to stop. Because I would provoke her onto wrath. I would try to make her angry at me. You know, get a rise out of her. And not often, but you know, we've all done that to some degree. Here we're told to provoke one another. Woohoo! We have permission. But here's what it says. Provoke one another unto love and good works. And when you get together and you talk with one another, whether it's here at church or out in the week and in your homes or on the phone, that's one of the things that we do. And we're cheering each other on. Be faithful. You can do it. I'm praying for you. What do you need? How can I help you? You're part of a huge family. Our Father is God. Anything we need. Anything good for us, we can access. It says in verse 25, and this is the reason, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. To miss out on all of these things, Paul embraced those disciples. He didn't give them a high five and say good riddance. It's all factored in. So we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Church is full of hypocrites. They're too offensive. They get it wrong. Organized religion doesn't do it right. It's, you know, whatever they... Either God is involved or He isn't. If He's involved, then be a part of it. I believe He's involved. It may not be the way that I think it should be. It may not go the way that I think it should go, but good thing I'm not in charge. And God is. As we close, it says, but exhorting one another. Again, we see, here's how we are encouraged to remain faithful. Keep coming. Keep doing it. Keep pressing. Because we exhort one another, we encourage one another, we lift one another up, despite the difficulties. And in the midst of the difficulties, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Have you ever imagined, as I close, being in a situation where it's not the tribulation, but likened unto it? Some difficult, traumatic, devastating thing perhaps. Maybe a third world war that will be unleashed before the Lord returns. And we sometimes imagine these things, and we imagine what we will be like as Christians, how we would help, how we would be faith-filled despite the difficulties. One of the things that I hope enters our mind if we ever think that way is that we would definitely need to pray more. We would definitely need to come together more often to encourage each other more, to talk about the truth of God's Word more, to understand it better. And that's exactly what we do. And it's not less that we need, it's more. More encouragement, more help to be faithful, more of God's promises, more of His truth to purge out the deceit and the lies and the poison. And so week after week you make the effort to do that, and I praise the Lord for His faithfulness to us and for your faithfulness here. Let's go ahead and we'll close. And I'll pray here in just a minute. Sorry to jump right into that. We're going to sing together hymn number 441, "Wherever He Leads, I'll Go." 441. Can we sing the first and the last verse, and then we'll close in a word of prayer.